This is the 3rd of February, 1978. Ed and Gerda Sundberg are interviewing in San Rafael, California.
We are at the Eldersley home in San Rafael, which is a Danish home for people who are retired. Would you please give us your name, first of all?
Yes, my name is Frederikke Weber.
And you are Danish?
Yes. I was born in Denmark.
Uh-huh. Would you tell
1899, the 3rd of March, no, the 11th of March, excuse me.
Where in Denmark were you born?
Assentoft, close to Randers.
Would you tell us a little bit about the kind of a family that you came from? Maybe have your father's and mother's names and your brothers and sisters' names?
Yes. My father's name was Johannes Mohr, M-O-H-R. My mother's name was Kirstine. And I had four sisters and four brothers. Two brothers have since passed away, but the rest of us are still here.
And could we have the names of even the ones who passed away?
My oldest brother, Anton Mohr, passed away this summer in September, and my youngest brother passed away in 56.
And his name was?
Terry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then there must be two more brothers, was that right?
Yes, but they're still alive, and I have four sisters in Denmark.
Have the names of
Yes,
them?
My oldest sister is Anna Gregersen. She lives close to Randers. And I am number two. And then I have a sister, Martha Fisker, who is also living close to Randers, and who comes there to visit us. And she was here this summer.
Oh, that's
nice. To a granddaughter's wedding in Los Gatos, Los Altos, my mistake. And I have a sister, Johanna Nelson, who had a golden wedding this summer. And I have another sister by the name of Agnes, who also lived close to Randers. So that is where the rest of them have stayed, except me.
Now, did we get the names of all the brothers? You gave us Anton and Tay. Was there two other brothers?
Yes. One is Thomas Mohr, and he lives also close to Randers.
Uh-huh.
One is Freden Mohr, and he lives close to Silkeborg. Yeah.
Do you remember the name of your mother before she married?
Yes, Pinborg. And we really have a little family tree in a book about my mother's side of the family.
I see.
Way back.
Would you tell us something about your father? Give us a sort of a characterization of what you remember.
My father was from a big family of 14 children. And he had a farm, the grandfather. My grandfather had a farm. And they lived a little outside Aarhus. Harlev is the name of the town. And
now, was your father a farmer too then?
Yes.
And near Randers?
Yes.
Now how
did he treat you youngsters? Was he strict? Was he...
Well, I would say we a little bit strict, and we had to help.
Mm-hmm. Now, in what way did you have to help?
Well, we were milking cows, and we were doing the work in the farm, on the fields.
You actually
driving horses and
as a girl, you worked out in the fields?
Yeah, we all did, the whole family, children, when we came home from school.
Mm-hmm.
We had some duties to do.
How big a farm was it that you grew up on?
Oh, not a very big one. We have maybe 20 cows only.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of crops did you grow on the farm?
Well, there's a little bit of everything on a farm in Denmark.
Mm-hmm.
Something for the rest of the animals, except, you know, we had both horses and other animals, pigs, chickens, all to be sold for profit, you know. My mother sold eggs so we could get a new coat.
Yes.
Now, would you do the same thing for your mother?
What kind of a woman was she?
Oh, she was a nice woman. She came to visit us here in 49, I guess it was. She was kind of a quiet one, just like my husband.
We'll talk to your husband in a few moments, too. As you were growing up, what kind of schooling did you have?
Well, I guess we just had... We had two classes only, one where we were up to, what was it? I forgot down T or something like that. We were to school at 14 years old.
Yes.
Then we had no more schooling. Mm-hmm. And then I had a couple of jobs doing a few years before I went to America.
Now, what kind of jobs did you have?
Well, I was working on a farm and doing everything inside. Not out on the fields at all, but just inside helping the
So that actually means you left home when you were about 14 years old?
Well, maybe a little more, 16 or something.
You were confirmed in Denmark?
Yes.
Were your family a family that was a church-going family?
Yes.
Or how much did religion mean in the home?
Well, I think my father was the most religious one of my parents. Or maybe he had a little more time to leave home, being that my mother had so many children. Mm-hmm. Not always.
Now, when did you come to the United States then?
I came in 1926.
And what made you make up your mind to make that big change in your life?
My mother had some sisters over here, and one sister left for America, and at that time I lived in Copenhagen, and I went down to the boat and see them off. My mother's sister and her daughter, and I knew them rather well. Mm-hmm. And then I said to myself, someday I must take that trip to America. So that was in the back of my mind. But at that time, there was quotas. You couldn't just go to America. You had to wait. And I think I waited 2 years before I had a chance to go.
What were the names of your mother's sisters and their children who came to this country?
Do you know them? Do you know those names?
Yes, I know. Tugerson.
Tugerson. Oh, that's enough. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she had two children here.
Now, did they seem, they had been in America, did they seem different than the Danish people, the people who had been to America?
Well, yes, they did.
So that they had already changed?
Yeah.
How?
I would say that in the looks and in the dressing outfits, I would say that you could tell right away they had been in America.
Now you started to get this America bug. What did you do about it? You went to the, how did you get on this quota list and?
Well, you go to an office in Copenhagen and I guess it was, I don't know, police or whatever it is. Do you remember what kind of a word? Ministerium or someplace? Papa?
Well, then in other words, you also had to get permission to leave Denmark, is that right?
No, not really.
No.
It was just that Denmark could just get so many immigrants in every year. Mm-hmm. So you have to be in line, you have to go and have papers signed and say you wish to go, and you had to wait your turn.
What were the reasons for the older people immigrating before you came here?
Do you know why?
Your mother's sisters.
Oh, well, reason? I guess there was something like, my mother came from close to Germany, and there was a time during the war with Germany that all the young men went to America, and that meant some of the...
That would have been the War of 1864, right?
No.
No? Was it later than
that? Yes, I guess in a way that would include that too, but later years too.
The tape is on.
You were just explaining to us that some of these young men, even though it was after the war, fell Danish, is that right? And the territory now belonged to Germany.
Yes. And so then, at that time. And when they grew up bigger and had to be German soldiers,
I see.
They disappeared to America, quite a few of them.
And that
and
was
they came over the borders of Denmark and went to America.
Now, when you finally had all your papers ready to go, how did you get the money for the trip?
I borrowed it from my father.
Did you ever repay it?
Some of it, yes. I did.
Well, then your father must have agreed to your going.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
What was the feeling of your mother?
Well, I don't think they were unhappy I was going. I think they thought that was a wonderful thing that I could do it.
And you were about how old then, 19?
26.
You're 26.
Yes, so I was not a young girl. And I had been away a good deal from the home.
Because it was a long ways to go.
In Copenhagen for years.
Do you remember the boat that you came across on?
Came on the Johnson Line, and the name of it was...
Oh, that's close enough.
It was a Swedish liner, and it was it was not a passenger liner. It was one of these going through the canal.
Oh,
it took us 2 months to get here. I was halfway Swedish before I got here.
You didn't land in New York then?
No,
you came directly
to
around
the canal. Yeah.
To what city?
San Francisco.
I see.
Because this was where my mother's sister was.
I see.
Now, where did you leave from in Denmark?
From Copenhagen, and I took the train to Göteborg, and then took the boat from there.
I see. Was anything special that happened aboard that boat?
Besides you becoming halfway Swedish?
Was there any special thing that happened aboard the boat, maybe?
I just can't think of that in a hurry. But we had a wonderful time, and we stopped many places, and one place there was a strike, we couldn't get loaded or unloaded, and we were there for almost a month. That was in South America, you know, just before we went into the canal.
Now you spoke was there somebody else along with you, or was it just a general?
Yes.
It was just a general passenger list.
Yeah, I didn't just go alone.
No, but I mean there wasn't a friend with you or...
I got to have a very good friend who is still my friend.
And what is the name?
We were in the same cabin together.
And what was the name of this one?
Kirsten Wallstrom was her name at that time, but now since she's married, she is Kirsten Tell, also a Swedish name, and she lives in Fresno.
Isn't that nice? Yeah.
Now, did you speak any English when you came to this country?
Well, how did you go about learning? Because you're speaking good English now.
No, I don't. I don't know how we.
Did you go to any school or anything?
Well, I took some lessons Berlitz School in Copenhagen, but that was not very much. Maybe one winter, and just maybe once a week.
So you did have a few words that you could say. When you got off the boat in San Francisco, what were your first impressions? Do you still have a picture in your mind as to what it was like?
Yes, I remember when we came to the Golden Gate, I thought those cliffs were a mile high. And we were down on top of the water, and you feel like a tiny person. And I also thought, when they mentioned with the beach, there was an entertainment, and I thought, gee, I would never get out there. What else did I think of? It was just so immense all of it. That was not the Brits at that time.
No, it must have seemed different than it does today.
Yeah.
We've just noticed that there is a hum on the tape, and we have investigated it, and it is an electric pump near the house, and there's no way we can turn it off, so we'll just have to put up with the pump. Now, we've got you in San Francisco. Did anybody meet you at the boat?
Yes. My cousin, the daughter of my mother's sister, was living here at that time, and she had married in the meantime and had a little family. and she was there to meet us, because my mother's sister had in the meantime gone to Canada, where she also had a son to visit. So that was my beginning in San Francisco. And
now, you had to find a job, I suppose.
Yes.
How did you go about doing that?
My cousin helped me, and I had a job in 2 weeks working for a German couple. They were born here, and they spoke a little German. And when I didn't understand, but they spoke German to me, and we kind of got together a little bit. And I can't see how they managed with me. But I was the girl in the house. Mm-hmm. They had some young boys, little boys, really.
What specifically did you have to do in this house?
I had to clean the house and help with cooking and wash the dishes and housework.
Do you remember, or would you even want to tell us what kind of pay you got for this work?
I think I started with $25 a month. And then, but not too long after, I got up to $35.
Now, did you get room and board too?
Yes, I stayed there.
How much free time did you have in a place like this?
I guess I had a day off, a week or something like that.
Now, on that day off, what did you usually do? Did you have friends or family?
Yeah, I met that young girl I met on the Swedish boat, mm-hmm. and we spent the day together.
And what would you do on your day?
Well, we went to look in the stores and try to look the city over a little bit.
Did you ever get to that entertainment place on the beach?
Yes.
Was it as nice as you thought it was going to be?
Yes, we thought it was wonderful. Yes, we did. And since then, I probably live on top of it. So we live close to the water.
Now, how soon did you marry after you came to the United States?
2 years after. See, I didn't know my husband.
Did you spend that whole 2 years, though, working for the German family?
No, I worked for another family, also German. So I had 2 jobs in those 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Now, how did you meet your husband?
At a masquerade at the California Hall in San Francisco. It was a Danish affair.
Is by any chance, was that a Fast Allowance Fest?
No.
No? Because, you know, sometimes we have masquerade.
Was it? It could be. Maybe he's right. Yeah, it seemed to be the time.
Costume and everything.
Yeah.
You had costumes
yeah,
on?
Yeah, and so did he.
And masks?
Yes.
Oh, and then
he came to dance with me, and then he just kept on hanging on to me.
Mr. Weaver, would you give us your full name?
Yeah, my name is Knut Weaver.
And where did you come from in Denmark?
London, Nakskov.
Oh, Nakskov on London. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And about what time did you come to the United States?
1929.
No,
so,
no, no.
Oh,
wait
a minute. 25 or 24. Yeah, you've been 25 years.
Yeah, and about how old were you at the time that you came?
About 29.
About 29. What kind of a family did you come from in Denmark?
My dad, he was a fisherman.
A fisherman? And then you lived right in the city of, or the little town of Nakskov?
Yeah, outside.
Outside.
It's called Langerød.
Langerød. Now, at the time you were growing up, how big a family was there in your home? How many children?
Yeah, we were five.
Do you remember the names of all of the children?
Oh, yeah. The oldest were sister, Christine.
Uh-huh.
And then I have one by the name of Helen, she lived right next door here.
I see, how nice. Uh-huh.
And then the daughter, Carl. And another sister, Karen.
Karen.
And I was in the middle.
And you were in the middle. And what was your mama and papa's name?
My dad's name was Kristen.
Kristen, and your mother's name?
Sina.
Sina. Do you happen to know what her name was before she got married?
Yeah, Masson.
Masson. I see. Do you have any particular reason why you came to the United States?
your sister?
Well, yes, she was here.
Your sister was already here. Did you have a trade in Denmark before you came to the United States?
No, when I first got out of school, I started to work for a farmer.
I see.
Yeah. I wanted to go to sea, but mother didn't like.
Oh. Well, then when you told her you were going to go to the United States, how did she feel about that?
Yeah, but there's a lapse in between there.
Uh-huh.
Finally, I got sailing on the coast at home.
Oh.
In the smaller fighters, yeah.
I see.
I finally had a boat of my own before that, but that, I got lost, you know. It's wrong, I think we were loaded to the, fully loaded, and something happened, it's wrong, I think, and it just...
Oh, that was enough to send you to America.
Well, and she was here, my sister was
yes.
here.
Yes.
I thought, well, can't do much work over there and we can't hear, you know, so I finally got permission, you know, we had to go through the U.S.
immigration
to get permission to go enter. But that didn't take really too long.
Do you remember the boat that you came across on?
Yeah, that was Heliola.
No, wait a minute, that's
it was the United States.
Yeah, I know the boat.
Yeah.
Did you come directly to San Francisco also?
No, I came to New York.
And did you go through Ellis Island?
No. They had a kind of warning in those days, if you come on the second class, then you wouldn't have to go to Ellis Island. It cost just a little bit more, but
yeah,
it didn't cost enough, does it?
So you didn't go what they call the immigrant class. You came as a little higher paying passenger.
Yeah. Did you speak English?
No.
How did you make it across the country?
Well, I came across on the train, and there was a fellow there. He was going to Fresno. So we followed him.
And he knew how to speak English then?
Oh yeah, he had been in Denmark on a vacation over here. He had been over here before.
What are some of the things he told you about California?
Say that again.
What were some of the things he told you about California?
Well,
I guess you met him on the trip, didn't
yeah.
you?
Yeah.
Did he have any stories about California to
no.
prepare you?
No, he really didn't. Not that I remember.
Where did you go to in California?
San Francisco.
San Francisco.
Yeah.
And were you able to find work there?
Yeah. The first job I had there was on the salmon fishing.
Oh.
Fishing shop. I'd only been here 2 or 3 weeks and I got a job with this fellow. The captain was Danish.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a job and I helped him get the boat ready to go up there. So he had a cool work and he had to get everything ready because we had the fishermen with us too.
Mm.
And they were bunked up in the ship. But this was all out of San Francisco.
Now, what nationality were most of the fishermen?
Swedish. Swedes.
Now, what did they speak aboard the boat? Danish, Swedish, or English?
No, English, yeah.
English. Did you do anything special to learn English?
Not really. I didn't have time to do anything but work.
And then you two met. Is that right? You came back to San Francisco and then...
Yeah.
Yeah, he was just there for the summer.
Uh-huh.
When he goes to Alaska fishing, then he came back.
For the season.
Yeah. I see. Were you married in San Francisco?
Yes, in the Danish church, that is, in the pastor's apartment.
Uh-huh.
And we were just the 4 hours or five, and when we got married, just like you now go to the city hall, we
now
take that in the church with the Danish. minister.
Now, it was a minister and you two and who else?
My girlfriend who I met on the boat.
Oh.
She was with us and his sister was with us.
And they witnessed the...
Witnesses.
Yeah. Now, did you have anything else special that day that you got married?
Yes, we had a little dinner together with some friends.
Did you
I guess I cooked the dinner.
You cooked, the bride cooked the dinner. Did you stay right in San Francisco after that?
Yes.
And did you stay right working on the boats at that?
No, no. That was just for one season.
I see.
And after that, I worked with different things, carpenters and builders.
So you went into the building trade then?
Yeah, eventually.
That is?
After skipping around a few jobs here and there, I got into the painting and that's why I stayed.
And then how many years have you been retired?
I retired in 1962.
And then have you been at Aldersley since then?
No.
Did
3 years and a half. Mm-hmm. Only here.
Do you have a family?
Yes. We have a son and a daughter. The son lives in San Francisco and is married and have four children.
What is your son's name and his wife's name and the children's name?
His name is Carl Weaver and the wife's name is Shirley. The oldest son is Eric. And then there is a Cynthia, daughter, and two younger boys. One is Kurt and one is Carl.
Now, do you have any other children?
Yes, our daughter.
And her name is?
Betty. Mm-hmm. And her husband's name is Robert Glacier. Mm-hmm. So she's not a weaver anymore. She's a glacier. And they have three children. The oldest boy, James it is, mm-hmm. And the second boy is Richard, and the daughter is Carol.
And then do any more children?
No.
That's two.
So that gives us seven.
Now, did these children grow up in San Francisco? Did you stay in San Francisco?
Yes, our children grew up in San Francisco.
And went to school in San Francisco. At this time that you were living in San Francisco, did you belong to any Scandinavian organizations? Would you tell us about
what? We belong to the Danish societies.
Mm-hmm.
And we have Danish Ladies Relief Society in San Francisco. We also belong to. My husband was quite active in his lodge.
Which lodge is that?
Dania.
We are taping.
Did we get the name of the lodge that your husband belonged to?
Denmark number two.
Denmark number two.
And the women's lodge to the same, they belong to the men's too, is Tira number three.
How much of a social life did this lodge bring into your family?
That we had a lot of that to begin with because we didn't need to speak English there.
Uh-huh.
And that was really the only way we had social activities.
Uh-huh.
And they had quite a bit of dances.
Uh-huh.
Yes, we went there quite often. And much more than they do now.
In those days, that was just about the only place you had to go for a little entertainment. And that was when we met once a week, two out of the year.
Now, was that an organization where you could also get insurance for your family?
Yeah, but no, not really insurance. We had a little sick benefit, which was $10 a week. For those days, $10.
Yeah, a little bit more than that.
Yeah.
What about your children? Could you bring your children with you to these social doings?
Yes, we had many parties where they also came, you know, Halloween parties and other parties where they came with us. and of course Christmas parties that they remember so well, dancing around the Christmas tree, a whole lot of kids, children.
Did you teach your children to speak Danish?
Yeah, I guess that was all we talked to them to begin with.
Now, when they went to school then, did they know English by that time?
Yeah, they had been playing with neighbors' children and got to learn their language. And we tried to talk English too, and they understood us.
Now, Mr. Weaver, with your painting, did you work with other Danish people?
No, it comes later.
Well, I know, but did you work with them? Did you have Danish painters working for you?
Oh, yeah, both of them. Danish or Americans or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Did you both become citizens?
Yes.
How did you go about that?
Then we had to go to school and learn about the Constitution. But you had to be here 5 years before you could apply for it.
Mm-hmm.
Did you become citizens on the same day?
No. My husband was a citizen a year before. Right?
Yeah, in 32.
And but you also did become.
Yeah, I guess in 1934 or something like that.
Have you been taking any Danish magazines or newspapers through this married life in the United States?
Yes, we still have the Danish paper. It used to be from San Francisco, but it's now stationed in Los Angeles.
And that's the Bien.
Yeah.
And you are still subscribing
to that.
Do you belong to a Danish church at this time, or have you ever belonged to a Danish church in this country?
Well, we always thought we belonged to the Danish church in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
That was where our children were christened.
Lutheran Church.
I see.
At that time.
Mm-hmm. When your children were growing up, was there any Danish services in the church at that time, or had they already?
Yes, there was Danish services in the church. And the children went to Sunday school in the Danish church. But of course, I believe that was in English.
I see. Did they ever have anything they would call like a Danish summer school?
Yes, they went to Solvang summer school when they were in 1940.
It was the beginning of the war.
Yeah. 1945 war.
How did you hear about Solvang in the summer school?
Well, through the Danish lodges, because, you know, there was quite a few of our friends that had been there as young people and met them, so to speak, mate down there.
Mm-hmm.
So we knew about Solvang quite a bit before the children went down there.
Do you know of any of the people who worked in that school?
Yes.
Who were they?
Mikotano.
Yeah,
and his wife.
Carl.
He just passed away.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And we have known them since.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a daughter at the same age as our daughter. So when she was there, they became friends.
Did this particular summer camp with this Danish feeling, do you think it influenced the children's lives? Did it make them more aware of their Danish background? Or maybe you had already given that to them.
Well, they got to know some Danish songs, and when they were dancing, folk dances, they were singing Danish.
Yeah, they learned a lot.
Yes, they did. But the girl learned more than he did, because he was smaller, and she had a little more.
She was a little older.
Yeah, that was better time for her to be there.
Have you been back to Denmark?
Yes.
What was your feeling? How long had you been gone when you went
back? The first time?
Yes.
13 years.
Had there been a lot of changes?
Yeah, 13 the first time.
No, it was more than that, wasn't it? It could be right. We went home in 38, just before the war.
Uh-huh.
And I came in 26.
What changes did you notice in Denmark when you went back then?
Yeah, that's a little hard to say, but there was quite a few changes that we noticed. There was a little more life and things at that time than there used to be.
Better times, I believe.
People had begun to travel, you know, and that seems to develop, you know, the minute you move from one country to another, you learn something. And we could, and the automobiles, of course, we had a few automobiles when we left home, but when we came back again, there was quite a few more. Everything was more mechanized. Mm.
How many times have you been back?
Five times.
Now, what do you see progressively as you go back to Denmark? What do you see? What changes do you see as the time goes by?
Well, I would say the same as here. There's quite a bit of changes since 26 too, and people are better off there, just like here.
Did you take your children?
They were with us the first time, and then we have had our daughter and a granddaughter with us since.
What were some of their reactions to seeing their parents' homes?
Well, I think they enjoyed it very much, just like a vacation.
Did they feel at home, do you think?
Yes, I do believe so. Yeah.
Well, when you go on a trip like that, you don't have time to think of anything else,
no.
But having a good time to know.
Right.
Because the first time the children didn't manage so well with the Danish, and that was all what our family could speak with them.
Yeah.
But, you know, they wouldn't need to understand one another. They managed anyhow.
Yeah, in 3 weeks, he spoke Danish.
Yeah.
That's children for you, isn't it? How long did you stay at any one time?
In Denmark?
Yes.
The first trip was the longest.
It was two and a half months.
I think so.
You must have sailed at that time.
Yes.
Do you know what...
We drove to New York and took the car with us, and we went home with...
The Polish liner, Pilsetski.
Pilsetski, yes. And we came back with a Swedish...
That time we had our car with us.
Oh, that was wonderful to be able to...
Yeah.
Do you remember the name of the Swedish boat you came in?
Dottingham? I believe.
Yeah, we went one way with the Dottingham and the other way with the Polish liner.
What Danish customs do you celebrate right here in this house?
Well, I believe we always have Danish Christmas. We have had Christmas Eve as the main beginning of the real big part of Christmas. And we had our Christmas tree and gifts and festivities on Christmas Eve. And I believe that's Danish.
Do you still sing around or dance around?
Yes, we still do that here, you know.
What are some of the songs you sing when you dance around the tree?
We even sing the Christmas songs. And there is a few that's a little more jolly, only. I don't know if you know Hoyt or Graydon's Grindetop.
Yes, that's it.
Would you recite just a little bit of it?
Hoyt or Graydon's Grindetop. Stråler jule glansen, spille mat, spille lystig op, nu begynder dansen.
Thank you.
Now, Mr. Weaver, we were really pulling a trick on your wife. We wanted to hear her Danish. Can we get you to recite something so they can hear what someone from Lolland, how they speak Danish? Do you remember a little poem or maybe a prayer or something that you learned as a child that you could recite for us?
Well, not really.
What could we get him to say in Danish? Herr Weaver, kan I fortælle mig lidt om deres skole, da de var en lille dreng? På dansk.
Ja, vi havde to klasser, første og anden klasse.
Ja.
Det var ikke som jeg har nyt til deres 5 og 6 klasser. Vi havde kun to. Hvad vi kaldte en lille og en stor klasse.
For hvor mange år var sådan en skolegang?
7.
7 år.
Fra 7 til 14.
Og når de skulle spacere til skole, kan I fortælle os lidt om, hvordan det var? Var det en lang vej?
Nej, vi havde ikke været langt.
Well, we got a little of your Danish on the tape too, didn't we?
Have you ever participated in politics?
No.
What about your relationship then with the unions?
Well, of course, I never did belong to the unions. As far as our painters' union was concerned, it didn't start till about 1927.
Mm-hmm.
That's when the union really got in, was strong. But we have the Master Painters Organization, which I belong to.
Uh-huh.
So that way I never did belong to the union as a craftsman painter.
But you did have an organization where you joined together?
Master Craftsman.
I've never heard of that.
And I belonged to them for 35 years there.
Did you ever hold any office in that group?
No, not in the, no. I didn't have enough savvy to do that.
Oh, you probably had so much work to do that you couldn't partake.
Yeah, well, we cooperated by going to the meetings and worked together that way.
Mm. Now, did you also have a contractors association?
Yeah, that was the Master Painter, the contractor.
License.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course we were licensed by the state. But all that developed during my days, you know. We didn't, those unions, he didn't mean much before. He had no power. But from then on, then they keep on going.
So you actually saw the beginning of that movement?
Yeah. I didn't have to take an examination. The fellow from the state came on when the law was passed that he had to be registered as a contractor.
Mm-hmm.
He came on and just asked a few questions and said, you will receive your license at this went up to Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
Had you held a job during your married life? I know you worked.
After I was married, yes, I worked in the house for some, maybe in an afternoon,
mm-hmm.
in the doctor's office, cleaned the house. But then when the family came, that was.
You triggered me to something when you said doctor's office. Would either one of you look back and tell us about any illnesses or any medicines that you remember from your childhood?
In Denmark.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember?
Was there a serious illness in either one of your childhood homes?
Not in ours.
I had the tonsils removed and I thought that was a horrible thing. So?
Well, what did your mother or father do if you cut yourself or bruised your skin so you broke it? Or you had a toothache or earache?
But we're looking for some of the old medicines.
We didn't have a doctor's though at that time. They took care of us without the doctors. I remember I had some swallow of whiskey or something for my toothache.
To the terpene.
Yeah.
But there was no serious illness as far as you remember at the time.
No.
Well, that's good. Is there something we haven't asked you about that we should have asked you about?
We'll tell you tomorrow.
Well, you tell us tomorrow.
One last thing before we say thank you. Do you remember any incidences that happened to you because you did not speak English very well when you first came here?
Either good or bad.
Yeah, I remember one thing coming back from Alaska. There was a big German husky. He evidently didn't like my looks, you know. So he was going to beat me up or something like that, which I didn't understand. It didn't mean a thing to me, but he said, but there was a couple of Swedish fishing. If you touch him, you come with me.
Ah. Very fast.
So they protected the fellow Scandinavian.
Yeah, he evidently didn't know that I didn't understand it.
Uh-huh.
He did know. a little bit about, but I didn't understand. But he was talking about this German fellow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But that's even the most serious thing that I can say.
Do you, have you recalled any, Mrs. Weaver?
Can't say no. No.
Well, we will let you think a little bit, and then someday in the future we may be back here to say, now what have you remembered?
You do that. Yeah.
And thank you so very,
thank you
very
to
much.
Both of you for sharing with us.
Yeah.
It was up because I was watching my watch.
The only
that one look I guess
we gotta go
on airplane.
Kinborg, how do you spell that?
I hear all those things.
K-I-N-B-O-R-G.
That's what I have. And Harley, you know, H-A-R-L-E-D.
We have to put up with it. There's no way we can eliminate it.
You want to have one of those papers? I don't do it.
No, that's the main thing is...
Because I'm so aware of it, it just, you know, I just want to go
on with it. Yeah. No, the fact we have it recorded, if somebody's interested, they'll know that there is such a thing, you see.
Yeah.
And anything that's already printed.
Yeah.
Stands for itself, but we're trying to get here.